He blessed them because it was a demonstration that they were not just men, but they were sent from God to do these things. And this man has heard, no doubt, that if you bring your sick folks to these people, and maybe to Jesus, that you'll be healed. He brought his son. His son had a serious affliction for many years. He had this possession of this evil spirit, and it caused him to do crazy things. And he says he brought him to the disciples, and the disciples were not able to heal him. Now, when Jesus asks a question, I want you to remember, whenever we find Jesus Christ asking a question, he's never, ever asking a question to obtain knowledge, because he already knows everything. But he does ask questions to focus on what the issue is, to make us ask questions, to make his disciples ask questions, and to think about those things. So he says this to them, and then he says, Jesus answered the man and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." Now, God questions their faithfulness. Now, he partially is questioning even the faithfulness of his disciples. Now, his disciples believe Jesus is the Christ. His disciples believe in God, and they believe that Jesus is the Christ. Hence the profession of Simon when he asked that question. He said, "What do men say that I am? And then what do ye say that I am?" Remember, Simon stood up, one of the beautiful moments that Simon stood up. And I don't think there's anything, I don't think, you know, thousands of men could have kept Simon from standing up at that moment. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, this is not, you know, have you noticed I'm not in Mark right now when I'm saying that? You won't find that in 9th chapter Mark. You'd have to go somewhere else. He said, "Blessed thou art, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." They believed that there was God, they believed in God, and they believed that Jesus was equal with God, and he was the Son of God, and he was God manifest in the flesh. He's not questioning that they don't believe that. But there is a difference, and listen to me very carefully. There's a difference between believing in God and believing God. If you believe in God, then there is a reason that you believe in God. And the reason you believe in God is because he lives within your heart. And he got there because he himself put his spirit in your heart. Preacher didn't do it. The church didn't do it. Your praying mother, father didn't do it. Your praying spouse didn't. God himself has quickened you, made you alive, and put himself in your heart. We sing a song in our book sometimes. "You ask me how I know he lives. I know he lives because he lives within my heart." And Kay and I this morning, we're having a conversation at a church. I know, it's crazy. We talk about God. I try to every chance I can. It is my favorite subject of all subjects. But we like to talk about those things. And I asked her some questions about why she believed things and why she believed in things. And I'll ask you some of the same questions. She's going to have a leftovers warmed up. But I'm asking you the question. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to tell me the answer. You just answer it to yourself. But do you believe that there is a God? I hope you do, or you wouldn't waste your time coming to church. Because it would be a waste of time if we didn't believe that there is a God. If I did not believe there was a God, I could think of all kinds of other things I'd rather be doing out here. You know, in this flesh, there's plenty of things to do. Instead of just sitting here and listening to a fellow be loud and scream all morning, there's plenty of other things you'd probably rather do. If you believe that there is a God, why in the world would you believe that there is a God? Why do you believe there's a God? Just because somebody tells you there's a God? That's not believing, really, and there's no reason for that. I can tell you why I believe there's a God. Because that's here. Because He put it here. You can't tell me there's not a God. Because I know there is. Because He lives in my heart. There is a witness. You know, when you go to trial and somebody's on trial, they will call witnesses to come up and testify of the truth. And as those witnesses come up, they establish what is the truth. If you are born of the Spirit of God, there is an undeniable witness that lives in your heart that tells you there is a God. I don't have to do that for you. I'm more glad than you are, probably, that I don't have to do that for you. Because I'd mess it up. I tell you, I'd mess it up for you. I'm glad that's not in my hands or some other man's hands on my behalf that I believe there is a God. So you believing there is a God is the work of God. It's His work. I know I'm in Mark and I hadn't got down to my text. Put your hand there. Put your bookmark there. Just jump over here since our brother was over in 1 John. I've got a 1 John on my mind. Let's go to 1 John and the 5th chapter. 1 John, 5th chapter. We have a whosoever scripture. Quite a few of them in the Bible. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begot loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. Now, some people are critical of our King James Bible. And it has the these and the thous and the th on the end of all these different things. Let's take just a moment. I don't want to take too much time. I'd like to take a lot of time. I love this because I believe it's the inspired Word of God. I believe it is God's Word. And I believe He inspired it, and I believe He's preserved it down through time. He's preserved His Word. His words have been preserved. I am convinced and persuaded that this is the Word of God. And I'm thankful that God has shown me that. And I believe in that because I've tried it out. And many before me have tried it out. And it's been tested and it always holds true. Let's look at that. Whosoever believeth. Let's stop on that believeth for a moment. We don't use that TH on the end of our words. Usually, there's some words out there in TH, but we don't use that as much anymore. What does that mean about that? Well, if I were to change it to some other words in the Bible, if I were to say, and there's, you can find this in Scripture several places, if I were to say, he sleepeth, whoever was, brother so-and-so sleepeth, in your mind, do you have a picture of him brushing his teeth and getting on his pajamas and winding down and getting ready to get into bed? Or do you see somebody who's asleep? They're asleep. If they sleepeth, they are in the act of sleeping. They're currently sleeping. That's what that tense of that verb means. They're sleeping if they sleepeth. The same idea and verb use of believeth is here. Whosoever believeth means they're in that state of believing. They're in that state. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. In this case, what is it that they're believing? Because men can believe different things. You show me somebody. In this case, it's someone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. What does that mean? They don't believe that Jesus is just some good prophet. There's many people in this world that believe that there was a man who lived on this earth whose name was Jesus. There's historical records. He's all over the place. And many will not deny that there was a man who lived on this earth by the name of Jesus. But that's not the same thing in believing that Jesus is the Christ. So the Christ is an office. We associate it with Him being part of His name, but it's actually an office. It's a position. He was the anointed one. He was the ordained one. He was the Messiah. He was the one who was called to this special place that His Father had given unto Him to fulfill that place. He believed that He is the Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You know what that verb is means also. That's not future tense. He's currently born of the Spirit of God. Those two are coexisting at the same time. Because He is born, there is a believing that Jesus is the Christ. It's not that He needs to get born and then at some later time there will be a belief. It is existing as He is born of the Spirit of God. He says, and everyone that loveth Him that begot Him also is begotten of Him. All right, let's go back to our text. Or we haven't got to our text. Let's go back to the 9th chapter of Mark. All right, and He says unto them, He says, O faithless generation, they do not believe, nor what? Not believing in God, but not believing that He had the power to heal them. Not believing that there existed the power to heal this person who's afflicted. The 20th verse says, and they brought Him unto Him. They brought the one who's afflicted unto Christ. And when He saw Him, straightway the Spirit tear Him, and He fell to the ground and wallowed foaming. This evil spirit that this man was possessed of comes close to Jesus Christ, and it presents itself. It manifests itself in this man, and he begins to fall down the ground foaming. Just as you would think of someone of epileptic seizure or something like that. And this may be the element that the man had, but God says he was possessed of an evil spirit. So I'm not attempting to explain it away, but I'm saying it would be likened unto that of someone who had that kind of condition. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Jesus is answering a question. Is it because Jesus does not know? No, he knows everything. But he's asking the question that the people there might know that this is an affliction for a long, long time. That they might understand. Before he's going to perform a miracle, he wants them to understand it's a miracle that's about to take place. And he said, of a child. It's interesting to notice how the conversation of this man changes as he talks to Jesus Christ. Pay attention. He didn't say, well, Lord, you know everything. You already know. He didn't say that, did he? Because he didn't see who this was he's talking to yet. He didn't see. He doesn't know who he's talking to yet. He doesn't see him as the Christ. He doesn't see him as his Lord and Savior. Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see, he does not see him as the God of all power, the God of all knowledge, because he says, I don't know what you can do. If you can do anything, we want you to help us out. I hope that we're not like that, though, when we pray to God. I hope we don't pray to that God and say, well, Lord, we don't know if you can do it or not. But if you can help us out, we'd like to get you to help us out in this situation. We'd be like faithless generation, wouldn't we? We believe in God, but do we believe God? Do we believe God? He says, can you imagine having a child with this affliction? That you just be walking around and somebody's got a fire built here or campfire there or whatever. You know, of course they didn't have central heat and air and gas heat and all these sophisticated things we have today. People just had fires built different places to cook or whatever it was. And they're just walking around town and their child just jumps over in the fire. Can you imagine what kind of affliction that would be? I mean, there's all kinds of terrible afflictions. This is one of them. Can you imagine having a child that had that kind of affliction? And he loved his child. It is demonstrated here. This man has sought out disciples. He's heard that they can do things that other people can't. No doubt he's probably been to other doctors. He's been to other places trying to get some help. And he's found no help. And he's probably gotten discouraged. You can hear it if you can do anything. You can hear the words of discouragement he's had for time after time. Somebody says, well, we can't do nothing about that. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, Christ is not exercising an invitation. God is not inviting him to go from a state of death and sin to life in Christ. God never invites the dead sinner to go from being dead to being alive. When he created the heavens and the earth, and in Genesis, we believe. Do you believe God? What he says about that? You believe in God, but do you believe what he says about how he created the heavens and the earth? Do you believe he created it in 6 24-hour days, as the Bible says he does? Many people do not believe that. They say they believe in God, but they don't believe God. Do you believe? I believe he did it just like he said he did it. And I don't have to try to match what God says with what the world says. I'm not worried about what the world says about it. I'd rather believe, let God be true and every man a liar. Let him be true. I have no problem believing that it happened just like... I believe what God says about it. Now, I have a problem sometimes, though, believing that he's going to take care of this or take care of that or get me through this problem or get me through that problem. Little things sometimes. You know, isn't that wonderful? Not really. It's sad, actually, that we can believe he did all these terrible things, but he can't help me through my problem tomorrow or the next day. All right, but he says, and I want to make that point. I didn't get to finish that point. When God created the heavens and the earth, did he say, all right, if light wants to come about, I'm inviting light to come about. There's this darkness, and light, if you want to come on out, come on out. Now it says, he said, let there be light, and there was light. God did not invite He did not look down at the dust of the earth and say, "Dust, if you want to be a man, come on out." He created man. He's the creator. He created the beast of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea. He created the mountains and the seas. He created the plants. He created these things. He cast the stars in the sky, the sun in them. He created them. There was no inviting of it. There was no enticing of it. He created it. It's His creation. Of course, the example to compare to is when He came to Lazarus' grave. When He stood there and Lazarus had been dead for several days in the grave. And He came, they rolled the stone back. And He stood over the grave. Lazarus is dead in the grave. Did He say, "Lazarus, if you want to come alive, come on out. I'd like for you to come out and be alive, Lazarus"? No. What did He do? He commanded. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead is now alive. And he came forth. It's the same way in being born of the Spirit of God. And in fact, Paul talks about that as being a new creature within us. God has created something in you that did not exist before. That's the same Spirit in being born again. Same concept, same idea. So when he says, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." This is not an invitation. It is simply a declaration. But I want you to notice that there is something that changed in this man. The preacher can declare things, but he can't do what Christ did. I'm glad we can't. Because then we sure start thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to, that's for sure. And the praise wouldn't be on God, it'd be about the preacher. And it should never be about the preacher. Should only be about the Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Godhead. But something is changed in this man. Because notice what he says. And straightway, first of all, that's an interesting term there, isn't it? Why would he use that word straightway? I think I remember that word being a couple other places. I'm not going to get through the scripture by going so many other places. But let's look at that real quick. And one of the places, hold your hand there. Sorry. Put your marker there for a minute. Over here in the book of Matthew, we have an account of Jesus Christ coming, coming to John the Baptist to be baptized of John. And there's a lot there. But I want you to notice, 13th verse, 3rd chapter of Matthew, Matthew 3, 13. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" Did John know who this was? He sure did. He knew him even when he was in his mother's womb as he came close. Remember, Jesus was in the womb of Mary, and John was in the womb of Elizabeth, her cousin. And when she came close, the Spirit filled Elizabeth. And John was filled with Spirit because he leapt for joy from the Spirit. He leapt for joy. He'd already been around this Christ. Even when he's in the mother's womb, he was filled with the Spirit of God. And he would proclaim, "I come, but there's one who come after me, whom I'm not worthy to unloose his latchets. He is the Lamb of God." And he would say, "Behold, the Lamb of God," when he came on the scene this time. So when Jesus says, "Hey, John, you need to baptize me," what would you react? Wouldn't you have the same reaction? If you saw he was the Christ, you'd be saying, "What? The Son of God, and you want me to baptize you? You want me to do anything?" I'd be saying, "Lord, are you sure you want this poor, unrighteous sinner to touch you, to be around you?" And he says, "Yes, John, you don't understand. It's right. It's holy and it's right. and you're going to understand later on, but we need to do this. Now, when God says the second time, I think, okay, I better listen. He's God, isn't he? I better do what he says. And Jesus answered him, said, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. It's right, John. You may not understand it. It's right. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway. There it is. You find it some other places in the Bible. Straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened up unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Something big happened there, didn't it? Something big happened there, that here we have the three at one time. The three Godhead, and we see them all. You see the picture of all three of the Godhead at one time in one place. We have the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove. And we have the Father's voice calling from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Manifestation that this was not just a man, not just somebody, Jesus, who did a lot of good things. This was the Christ. This was the Son of God. John already saw it. But oh man, I can't imagine. I am so thankful to get to baptize some of you and get to baptize little God's little children. But I couldn't imagine what John just experienced. I can't imagine that. Something happened. I'm back to Mark. And I'm running out of time. I gotta hurry up. Whew. Straightway, the father of the child cried out. There's something happening to this man. Something just happened to him. He's crying now. He's crying out. Straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, what happened to him? What happened to this man? Something happened to him. Something big just happened to this man. Lord! Now he's calling him Lord. You see that? Lord, I believe. He believed something now that he didn't just believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now that right there, he calls a whole lot of God's little children. Sincere God's little children could cause them a lot of heartburn. Because you've got a fellow here who is a believer and an unbeliever at the same time. That's just going to cause a lot of people a lot of problems. You've got a believer and an unbeliever in the same person at the same time. Isn't that weird? It's strange, isn't it? Well, it must not be he's believing the same thing. It's not that he believes that God, there is a God, and he doesn't believe there's a God. That won't work. Logic will not allow that to come to be a logical conclusion. But what is it he's saying? He's saying, now I believe that you are the Christ, and I believe in God. Because God has put that witness within him, and he cannot deny that witness. He believes that this is not just somebody. This is God. This is the Lord. He calls him now Lord. He says, I believe. He believes there is a God now because he lives within him. Help thou my unbelief. Just because you believe there is a God doesn't mean you will not have many times when you don't believe that this God can help you. Because your flesh does not want you to go there. Your flesh wants you to depend upon yourself. And your strength, and your knowledge, and your money, and whatever it is. Your flesh wants you to depend upon that. But that's not what God says. You're not going to get any help from that. That's not where your help is. That's not where your strength is. He says, I believe in you. Help me to believe what you say and what you can do and what your power can change in my life. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." Now, when the Son of God does something, do you believe that he has the power to accomplish it? Do you believe that he accomplishes whatever he sets out to do? Do you believe that? You believe in him, but do you believe he can do whatever his desire is? Even Isaiah saw that many years ago. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it said, "He shall prosper in that which he sets to do." When God decides to do something, he never tries to do it. He does it. When you and I try, we do something, we try to do it. And because you don't have all knowledge and all power, many times we fail. And because there's so many things that influence whatever we do and it's not in our control, we fail many times. But God never fails in what he tries to do. He accomplishes that which he set forth to do. It doesn't come back to him void. Jesus said, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." Without reading the rest of it, what do you think happened? If I didn't have the rest of this scripture, I could tell you exactly what happened. That spirit came out. I don't have to know the rest of that spirit to tell you with a surety and with everything I know in my being, is that that spirit came out of that man because God said, "Come out." But the Bible tells us, in case you were lacking in believing in that, "And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, 'He is dead.'" People get observations that are not correct many times. They don't know what just happened. "And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come to the house, disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not?'" And that goes on to about their faith and believing in him. I know I went over a little bit. I hope I didn't wear you out. I don't ever want to wear you out. But think about, I didn't really develop that idea very much, but if you believe in God, it's because he put himself within you. The next big question, though, is, do you believe God? Do you believe what he says about creation? Do you believe what he said about Jesus Christ? Do you believe what he said about what Jesus accomplished on the cross? Do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe in the last day? Do you believe in God, what he said? Do you believe God? If we believe, he doesn't want you just to believe in him. He took care of that. But he also desires that we believe in him, that we believe what he says, and we have our trust in that. One more like United this church. If you believe in God, God has put that in your heart. Do you believe that he says it's the right thing to do, to follow him, to walk with him, to put your trust in him? Do you believe it's the best way to walk here in this world? Do you believe there is peace and there's a joy and there's a salvation in following him in this world? Then you should exercise that. How do we know you believe? How do you know you believe yourself? Walk that way. Follow him. He's given you the guidance. He's shown you the way. Let's sing number 275, first and last. Stand if you'd like to. Have that desire. You want to put it on your heart. Number 275, first and last.